so happy to be with all of you out there, hopefully in the sunshine and at Melk Bos. It's my privilege to speak to you in this series, Under Pressure. And, you know, as I've thought about it, there's all kinds of pressures, good and bad. But, you know, God says that He will cause all things to work together for our good. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't matter what the source of your pressure is. We're speaking about dealing with the pressure that comes from social media. Now, this would be a very wide topic, but I'm going to specifically deal or narrow the focus down to pressure exerted on your personal identity and your self-worth. And this is a really complex, in fact, a very interesting topic about identity and self-worth and self-image, because I think the major crisis of this age is in the area of identity and self-worth. Personal identity is the way you see or perceive yourself, from your physical being to your inner core. It's the answer to the question, who am I? And because life's so different today, people are not sure who they are. And it kind of explains how you relate to the world. And I've said in the earlier meeting, I get so frustrated by people who obviously have gifts and capabilities, but they can't see it. They just see themselves as being less than worthy. And Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart or her heart, so is he or so is she." And you have to understand that your behavior, your attitudes, and your responses will follow the way you think about yourself. Self-worth is very interlinked. It's the way you see your worth, your competence, and your importance. Some people are so nervous as they work. They just don't believe that they're competent. And maybe a lot of people, maybe starting with a school teacher, has said, "You'll never amount to anything." There's so many things that make up our identity. So you see, your identity and self-worth actually start at your conception. It's very interesting, which we're going to read a little later, where David speaks about his conception, not something any of us ever really want to think about. But right up until you die, in the natural, your identity is going to change. It's determined by every experience that you have. Your family, where are you in the family? Are you the middle child? Are you the elder child? Your nationality, your race grouping. And that's why we know that racism is so evil, because it's attacking the identity God has given you. And we can talk about success and failure. Your perception of your skills and talents, all of that will make up your identity. And then we know that every human being will have an identity crisis several times in their lives. That doesn't mean something bad, but if there's a sudden change in your life, your roles that you play, if there's a death, maybe you lose your job, or maybe your business collapses. All those things are tied up in your identity. So many things can happen that you didn't think about. But, you know, even the empty nest syndrome or retirement, all these things bring about an identity crisis where you can be vulnerable. So really what we're going to preach is finding your identity in Christ. And that will bring you the stability that God wants for your life. An interesting thing about social media, they say that the more people engage with social media, the more their self-identity and worth is under pressure. The more you engage, the more your identity is under pressure. And just briefly, five things that can mess with you on social media. This whole thing about likes, the number of likes. And, you know, I've seen people just share their deepest sorrow and sadness and get 3 likes. Help me, Jesus. And then somebody will just talk a load of rubbish and get 350 likes. You just think, oh, well, he's obviously a nicer person or better. Guys, whoa, let's not go down that road. It's one of the reasons why I don't like getting on Facebook, because of just the likes thing. And then, of course, Bullying and abuse. I never knew that such abuse existed until social media came around, and the stuff that happens, these people are gods of guilt. They determine that you're guilty, and they're the judge, jury, and executioner, right? And then, of course, thirdly, just the silly or idiotic posts that we make. Oh, my hat. Have you ever done that? And afterwards, someone speaks to you, and you just think, what? You know, how could I be so dumb and still breathe? And you know what's happening today? Things people do when they're young are coming back to bite them. There was a player in an international cricket team a few weeks ago who was taken off the team because of some stupid things he said as a teenager, probably after having a few drinks. And there was also a youngster, very talented youngster on American Idol. He had to withdraw because at the age of 12, a photograph was taken of him and the friend was dressed inappropriately. So the idiotic things or the silly things that we do. Then fourthly, comparison of your life with the message and image of other people. And listen, as a pastor, I'm probably more privy to this, where like there's this incredible thing on Facebook and you think, I know the situation. It's not like that. So there's a desperate projection of perfection that really isn't there. Then fifthly, the culture of cancellation, ghosting, blocking. Have any of you been blocked or ghosted or canceled? Anyone? Yes? I have. And it's like, woo, the major cancellation to this day. I have no idea what I did wrong. But that person is uncontactable because you block. So we can't sort the issue out. But you know, when it happens, you just think, whoo, it's like a punch, isn't it? So yes, five things, and I'm sure there are other things about social media that can put pressure on your identity. And the way you think about yourself, I want to say it again, will govern your behavior, your responses, your peace. Social media can take away your peace and your joy. Now, guys, our solution, oh my hat, is the solution provided by God. And I think just considering all the stuff, I do believe that that people should see professionals sometimes. I think a really good book can help you. But what those things do is maybe help you to understand yourself, but only God can change you. Really, the change that is going to give you peace and set you free comes from God and God alone. So let me just briefly look at some points that are important. Firstly, determined to grow under pressure. I tell you, it changes the whole ball game. At the beginning of COVID, a group of athletes and coaches who suddenly found they were out of a job decided to start a campaign called Growth Under Pressure. And this campaign was aimed to help people thrive, even though maybe they didn't have a job or they were under all kinds of pressure with COVID. And they said the best way to thrive is to assess your resources in gratitude. In other words, what do you have rather than what you don't have? What are your gifts? What are your resources? What finances do you have? And then use those resources creatively to help other people who are worse off than you. And I thought, oh my head, isn't that the church? That we are determined to grow under pressure. And our gratitude is always the fact that we have eternal life. Whatever else happens in our life, I'm grateful that I have eternal life. I'm grateful that I have a new nature. I'm grateful that I have a new identity. I'm grateful for the church. And so we are also creatively connected to help other people, right? That's why the church should be and is, I'm proclaiming, an amazing place. So that's all awesome, isn't it? So that's the way I want to approach it. I want to end my service with us determining to grow creatively. Right. So the second point is allow the truth in Christ and His word to set us free. God's truth will always trump your facts and your perceptions. You know, I hit my early 20s. I was so full of anxiety and fears. I mean, it was ridiculous. And I realized that I needed to press into the Word. I started learning scriptures. I started sticking them up in my cupboard door. They were written on my Bible. So when I opened the Bible, the scriptures I needed were there. When you allow the messages and images of social media to mess with our personal identity and self-worth, we place ourselves in a prison that we cannot escape in our own strength. That's why we need the Word of God, so that we can be set free. I don't know what identity issues you have, but if you have a poor self-image, a poor self-worth, I'm willing to say that there's quite a bit of torment. There's stuff there that won't allow you to live in joy. So for me, it was the Word of God. Okay. And I just think of Gideon. And this is the frustration of believing your poor self-identity. He was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press. I'm reading from Judges 6. To hide the grain from the Midianites. All capable men were in the army, and there was just a couple of guys that they thought, you know, they're just like really girls, but anyway, we'll use them. And he's hiding away and from the Midianites, trying to get a bit of wheat for the army guys. And his self-identity and everything is zero. And the angel of the Lord appears and says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." You know, there's a lot of us here that God is saying, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And immediately Gideon goes into a whine. He says, "The Lord's with us. Why has all this happened? Blah, blah. Where's the miracles? And God's abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." So you see, when you're in negativity, because negativity and victimhood flows out of a poor identity. With me? And we've all been there, right? We've all been negative. We've all felt that we're a victim. I believe the greatest thing you can do as a Christian is to fight victimhood. Don't say you've never been a victim. Rather say, "Yes, I have, but I can fight it through the Word of God and my relationship with God." So some really good scriptures. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Jesus reading from the book of Isaiah. "For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Guys, when we stop bringing good news, we're in trouble. Because if I can't bring you good news, you ain't coming back next week. That's depending on Uncle Cyril, obviously. "He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free." That proclamation applies today. Are you willing to accept the freedom? Are you willing to believe you can walk out of that prison? Because it's being proclaimed. Jesus doesn't have to come back here and proclaim it. It has been proclaimed. Amen. Then just a little passage, John 8:31 to 32. Oh, what a powerful passage. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, to my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So I believe that any identity issue, especially with social media, God is here to set us free. And unpacking that scripture, firstly, to believe in Christ. Guys, we've got to believe in the love of God, the love of Jesus. That Jesus came fully human, fully God, that he voluntarily died on the cross, that God accepted his blood sacrifice as payment for our sins. That he has invited us to become part of his kingdom, for that the Holy Spirit has come to live in us and can and will if you haven't made that decision. And that from there onwards, you release the identity that God has always determined for you. Amen. So you've got to believe in Jesus. Secondly, remaining faithful to his teachings. And if you read different translations, "continue in my word," "hold it to my teachings," "abide in my word," all meaning the same thing, notwithstanding pressure. You see, it's very easy for us to have a great meeting today and we could stand up and we could read passages and we could walk out here singing. But when the rubber hits the tar, when you're under pressure, is that word still applicable? Do you say? Sometimes we have to read it again and read it again. Sometimes we have to wrestle with all the stuff that's coming and saying, "No, this word that I have just read is going to set me free." In fact, I am free. I am free indeed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So it's remaining faithful. And in Psalm 1, you've got to understand the importance of Psalm 1. It sets the scene for the rest of the book of Psalms. And he says, he speaks, those who meditate on God's word day and night will be like a tree planted by the water. They will, their leaves will always be green. They will always have fruit in season. And it says, whatever they do will prosper. And I've often wondered about this meditating at night. I mean, really, I just prefer to just settle down, read, watch a bit of TV and get ready for bed, maybe read a scripture. But you know what? It's at nighttime that all the demons come back, all those negative thoughts, all the stuff that happened during the day. That's when your identity again is shaken. You see, in the day you can stay busy, but it's at nighttime that you bring the word that God has given you. You see, you can't remember every scripture in the Bible, but as you approach God's word in a positive way and ask God to speak to you, in different seasons, all I need to do is leap off here. In different seasons, there will be a word that's applicable. That's the word you hold on to. Are you guys doing it? You see, I grew up where you had to learn scriptures. You dare not go to youth or kids' church and not know the verse of the week. But that helped us. Guys, it's good to watch programs and to listen to audios, but are you planting God's word in your heart? Guys, there's no shortcut. Hello? There's no shortcut. No shortcut to God's word. So the third thing is, it's believe, remain, and then discover God's truth about your identity. You've got to follow Jesus' example. All the times he spent with the Father and in the Word, you remember at the age of 12, they couldn't find him for 3 days. He was discussing the Word of God with all the established leaders and scribes. He learned his identity, and he could stand up and say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. And can you stand up and say, I'm forgiven. I am a child of God. I have a destiny in God. You see, a lot of people look for their destiny, and what they really mean is my worldly dreams. But is your destiny in God? There's so much in the Bible that we can take because it's there. It's the truth. You guys all with me? You know, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, in other words, my destiny, my identity is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. That's why every morning we get up and we remember our baptism. I died with Christ. My sins were crucified. I'm buried. The old man is buried. I'm raised up in new life. Am I making sense to you guys that I can say I have a new nature even when everything is telling me just to do all the wrong things? I have a new nature. I have a new destiny. I have a new identity. The old is gone and the new is here. And something I wanted to just briefly mention, Colossians 3 verse 3 has set me off thinking, because what Paul says, Paul wrote the letter to the Colossian church. He says, our new life in Christ is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, there's a spiritual protection. And God brought me back then to Psalm 91 verse 1. Whoever dwells or lives in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. What I want to say is that God wants to protect our identity, our self-worth, and our destiny. He wants to protect all of that. And our protection is found in God. Because you see, with social media and all these other pressures, it's an attack on us. It comes when we least expect it. As I said, often at night. But if we are sheltered in the Most High, I promise you, what happens is that we continue to develop a healthy identity, and that changes everything that we do. Amen. So just one example of our destiny. It's good just to have one passage of scripture that we can chew on. Psalm 139 from verse 13. Listen, guys, type this out, write it on paper, whatever it is, have it on your Facebook page, whatever. But I tell you what, if you allow this passage to sink deep into your heart, it'll change you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, nothing excluded, and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Do you know how well God made you? You might say, oh, no, I would love to have been 6'5" and a Springbok rugby player, or I'd love to have played football for Manchester United, never Liverpool, and all those things, but maybe that's just not how God made you. You know, I can scream and shout, I wasn't ever made to be a Springbok captain playing in the front row. Didn't even think I could have played in the front row. But you know what? God made me marvelous for another purpose, and God doesn't give us every single gift. When I was young, I could sing like an angel. The day my voice broke, never again. That passed away. But you know what? I could stand up here as the singing pastor, playing the piano, doing all the prophesying, doing all the preaching. You know what everyone say? I don't have to do anything else. Just come to Graham. He's the source of everything. God doesn't make us like that. There's always some area of life that we're not good at, but we don't have to lose our self-worth. Come on, guys. You guys all with me? So just a few things. Firstly, God was totally involved. Your physical makeup, your personality. We've all got different personalities. Your spiritual image. You know, you might wish, if only I could be so funny that everyone laughs at my jokes. You ever think that? But you know, sometimes those guys skim on the surface. Maybe you're deep. And God brings a prophetic word to the deep people, not the talkers. It just, every personality type is valuable to God. So then God thinks you are marvelous. He's made you for the plans and purposes that were determined in eternity. So maybe you should just look at yourself and say, once again, like I said, can I assess my resources? What has God given? What talents? What gifts? I was sharing with someone. We had a gentleman in our church. He was a quiet guy. His wife kept saying to me, I'm so cross with him because, you know, he won't take a public ministry. But, you know, he tragically passed away from cancer, I think early 50s. This church was packed to the back. He had helped so many people. He had fixed so many motor cars. Every widow, every single lady, he had done something to help him. And I was gobsmacked. He did the work of God. He used the gifts God had given him well. And it was, and he was promoted into heaven, never having spoken on this platform. You guys with me? Okay. So God, it's marvelous. You've got to understand God's divine, the fact that every moment of our day was written down before it started. It speaks into what Andre spoke about earlier, where God brings factors together. You're here for a reason at this time. And sometimes we think we should be somewhere else and maybe we should have been there. As Joseph said, guys, all this happened to me for a purpose. You might think, oh, but this happened and my mother left my dad and I don't know how we ended up in a dump like Cape Town. I don't know what's going on in your mind. I should be in Joburg. Maybe I should have emigrated to America. All these things are nonsense. God had a reason and he's protecting you where you are. And then, of course, this thing about precious thoughts. Oh, my hat. Even when you let God down, even when you fail, You know what David said? This was a revelation. How precious are your thoughts, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. You can let down God over and over again. His thoughts still remain precious. He is a besotted father. Come on, some of us need to really allow that to sink in and change your self-worth and your identity. God is besotted with you. And that's why we have a ministry of reconciliation, restoring people. You know, Jesus restored Peter. He went after Peter. He said, come back, Peter. Come back. There's a work for you to do. He could have just said, you know, Peter, you're my best friend. You made a fool of me in public. You denied me to a little girl. I'm finished with you, Peter. His thoughts always remained perfect. Just as we close, guys, there's so much we can do that's positive with social media. Guys, it's a communication tool, as everyone's been saying this morning. Share the church announcements. It's a place where you can encourage and affirm and inspire people. You can use wise words to help in situations. It's a place of sharing important prayer requests. It's an outreach tool. You can invite people. You can share a testimony. Guys, there are umpteen positive things. If we decide, you know what? We're going to grow under pressure. We're not going to allow this thing to beat us, but we're going to use it as a tool to further the kingdom. Amen. Does that make sense? So in conclusion, all Christians live under some pressure. Social media is one of the latest. Probably COVID follows that. However, if we live our lives with Christ in the shelter of the Most High, you know what happens? We protect our identity in God, and we can then grow under pressure. Then we're able to step out in strength and use what God has given us to explode His kingdom. Make sense? Shall we pray? Father, I just thank you for this awesome opportunity, Lord, to gather around your word. Lord, I know that every single one of us has been through moments when we felt so shaky. Our identity, maybe it was ill-formed, malformed, maybe it's been broken. Lord, many of us, if not all of us, have been through an identity crisis at some time. But Lord, we see how just what's happening in the world is forcing us into identity crises. But God, we declare to you that we're not going to buckle under pressure, because you're our Lord and Savior, because you have given us an identity that is linked to a destiny that you have determined and shaped in eternity. So God, I pray that you just bring a great sense of peace. I pray that joy will bubble up in whatever situation we're in. God, I pray that nothing on social media, Lord, will shatter and break anything that you are forming in us, but that God would be strong. Help us, God, to reach many people. As we come to a close, you might remember that I said one of the first things we need to do is believe in Jesus. And whether you're in this room, whether you're outside, whether you're in Melkbos, whether you're listening online, I want to invite you to form a relationship with Jesus, to believe the word of God, to believe that he died for your sins, to believe that not only does he forgive our sins, but he forgets. God says that your sins are removed from you as far as the east is from the west, and that as the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us on behalf of Jesus, we have a new nature. We have a new identity. We have a new destiny. So let's just bow our heads. And I just want to ask you, wherever you are, if in this moment you'd like to give your life to Christ, just raise your hand and then let it down. We're not asking you to please to join a church. We're not asking you to do anything weird except form a relationship or restore your relationship with God. Is there anybody out there? Thank you. There's a hand in this room. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you that your son Jesus died for me, and that my sins are forgiven the moment I confess them to you. Please forgive me. Give me the gift of eternal life. come and live inside of me through your precious Holy Spirit. Please begin to form a healthy, godly identity inside of me. So that I can fulfill the plans and purposes that you have determined for my life. In the context of your precious church. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.
Awesome. I want to just thank Graham. It's on to Graham for a phenomenal message. And really, in this season, even as our president is about to make an announcement, whatever the announcement is, we want you guys to step into this season with faith, knowing that God has already made you on purpose. He knew exactly where you were going to be, and that, yes, in this life we'll have trouble, you know, so there are going to be ups and downs, but we know that the plans of God are the same, and that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can let our faith be focused on Him and let our faith rise. Listen, you know, if our restrictions change, and we can't meet together, I encourage you to actually make the most of the season online. Okay, to go, how can I do the season better? How can I be planted in the church in a stronger way online? So I encourage you, don't see the online season, if we do go into it, as we just see it as another chance to get a bit better in doing it online, because before you know it, we're going to be back together. As soon as we can meet back together, if they do change restrictions, we will be back together. We as a team have always decided we will stay flexible. We're not going to be fragile. We're going to be flexible in the season. And you're also going to hear about our new location that we're planning to do in the spring season of this year. And then, of course, we're planning to get better at Table View. We plan to grow at Malpus. We plan to grow online. That's how we're going to do it. We have already decided that no matter what comes our way, what's going to happen is Jesus will be lifted up, His gospel will be preached, and we will not devalue the meeting together of His church. We'll do it online. We'll do it in person. We're going to find a way, and we're going to have a joy when we do it, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So you guys with me? Okay, so we're going to have some fun. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to make the most of it, whatever comes our way. Let's quickly pray for our country. God, let's lift up this nation. We thank you that we are in your hands. We thank you that you also carry all the healing power we need. We pray that you'd release your healing power over this nation. We pray that you'd protect every province, and you would see the numbers decrease and people's recovery time increase, that they recover quicker. In Jesus' name, we'd see hospitals get emptied out, and we'd see people's lives be healthy. And we also, even more than this, we'd see more people come to you, more people come to know you in a real way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to say goodbye to our online family. Tonight, we got Kayla preaching. Join us tonight, double dip. Bye to our Malpus family. Dieter will take over. And to our Tailview guys, have an awesome Sunday. Hope to see you online tonight or in person. Cool.